Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Welcome to Hour 2. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Thanks for tuning in. And if you just joined us, you missed my first hour discussion with Byron Paulus and Bill Eliff. We talked about our nation's need for a revival and how it starts with us. Oh, my goodness, that was a sacred hour. So if you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the podcast. You can do that by going to our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Or you can go on iTunes and download, subscribe to the podcasts of The Daily Show. Get them for free. That's an easy way to do it as well. Well, I'm excited to switch gears and talk to my girlfriend, Erin Smalley. She's such a dear friend, and she's got a wealth of wisdom to share. And, you know, I co-hosted a show with her husband for about a year called Everyday Relationships, and Erin and I got to talk every week, and I just miss you, Erin, so much. But together, Erin and Greg do so much for the family, so much for the kingdom. But she's got a book out, and she co-authored it with Greg and with her father-in-law, Gary Smalley, titled The Wholehearted Wife, 10 Keys to a More Loving Relationship. We've got a few copies to give away, so you can chime into the conversation anytime in the next hour. And if you get on the air, we'll get you a copy. So let me give Erin a proper introduction, and we'll get this conversation started. Erin Smalley is an author and a speaker based in Colorado Springs. She works with her husband, Dr. Greg Smalley, doing marriage intensives and seminars. Erin's published numerous articles for Parent Life, Home Life, and Marriage Partnership magazines. Her books include Grown Up Girlfriends and Before You Plan Your Wedding, Plan Your Marriage, also co-written with her husband, Greg. And she and Greg live in the Springs with their four great children, Taylor, Murphy, Garrison, and Annie. You can find her author page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Erin, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, dear Susie.
Well, it's so nice of you to be with us when I know you were just on the road this weekend, and you really are the energizer bunny. I'm telling you what, I don't know how you bounce back so quickly, but you just do, don't you?
I do, and I always have been like that for some reason, but I know when I'm tired that my poor husband is exhausted because he's not quite, doesn't have the same level of energy that I have. Mm-hmm. Somehow, I don't know, God just made me that way, and I guess that's why he gave me a three-year-old in my 40s. She's now seven in my late 40s. Yeah. So somehow he knew he gave me that energy for a reason.
Absolutely. Well, she's worth it. Boy, she's a dearie. Well, as you know, you've been on the show plenty of times. We love to start out all of our conversations talking scripture. I wonder if you have a verse you can share with us today and just even explain why this verse matters to you.
Mm-hmm. This is my favorite verse when it comes to talking about being a wholehearted wife, and it's Ephesians 6, 7 through 9. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know the Lord will reward each of you for whatever good you do, whether they are slaves or free. And I just love that because for this book, I mean, we are serving the Lord in our marriages as wholehearted wives. We're not doing it for, you know, it's nice when we get appreciation, but we don't always get that because we're married to another human being. But the Lord sees our efforts. He sees our hearts. He knows that we're working to serve and glorify him.
Mm. So let's play that forward in both of these scenarios. Play it forward for a person who's got the best intentions, but they're serving as unto their husband. You know what I'm saying? I'm serving you for you. And how that plays itself out, and maybe some of the downfalls, versus serving your husband as unto the Lord, and how that plays out. Maybe paint those two pictures for us.
You know, when we're serving our husbands, to serve our husbands, it's a great effort to serve our husbands, but unfortunately, we're married, like I said, to another human being, and they're not always going to respond the way we want them to, you know, and ultimately, it can leave you disappointed and, you know, and sometimes empty, because if you're not getting filled back up through them, and that's not even their purpose. And that's the thing we have to realize is that that's not what they were created to do, to fill us. God created us so he can work in and through us. And so, you know, when we're serving the Lord, he's the one who's giving to us. He's the one that's filling us with his love. And then we can give out of his abundance to others with no expectations, which is not always easy. But it's, you know, when I'm serving Greg and I'm allowing the Lord to fill the holes in my heart, to fill my heart with everything that he has for me, then I'm not giving, expecting Greg to give me anything back. And when he does, it's great. I love it when my husband does that, but he doesn't always do that. Therefore, I can, you know, bypass some of the disappointments. There's times there's conversations need to happen and boundaries need to be set. But, you know, when I'm doing it for the Lord, my fulfillment comes through him.
You know, it's really the difference, isn't it, between seeing mm-hmm. our spouses as a source or a gift. I mean, God is the source. Our spouses are a gift. But when they become a source, we feel entitled to that they should fill us, and then we're disappointed that they don't, and they were never wired for that, as you say.
No.
Where when God is a source and our spouses are a gift, then we start to see it as something to be stewarded and someone to be stewarded, right?
Mm-hmm. That is so true. I love that. I just wrote it down. A matter of fact, Susie, the source or gift. It never fails when I'm on with you. I always get some piece of wisdom to write down.
Oh, you're so funny. Well, I was thinking about, you know, playing this forward. If we look at our husbands and we serve and we are looking for reciprocation and we're saying, I'm doing all this for you. You think of the two statements in the love chapter that stand out to me. Love keeps no account and love believes the best. Well, I feel like when I'm serving my husband, so that he serves me back because he owes me or whatever, well, you start to keep an account and you stop mm-hmm. believing the best, right? And so part of that is on us when we're serving out of the wrong heart.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true. Right now at our church, I'm running a wholehearted wife group, and it has been so rich because these are the kind of things we talk about. In this group, we are not talking about our husbands and what they are or are not doing. We're talking about us and about how we show up in this marriage relationship and how can we, instead of, you know, looking at how can I have a better marriage, how can I be a better wife? How can I show up as a wholehearted wife to truly impact this marriage relationship in the best way that I possibly can, not in my own strength, but in the strength I receive from God.
Mm. And this is really one of the reasons you wrote this book, Wholehearted Wife, is because you identified that we are influencers in our home, whether we like it or mm-hmm. not. So maybe talk mm-hmm. about even the catalyst to your inspiration to saying, I've got to put this in print, because it's not like you need more things to do in a day.
Well, you know, with all the energy, I got to find something
exactly.
to do.
No.
Maybe I should spend more time on the treadmill or something. I don't know. You know, really, Susie, the truth is that we do have tremendous influence and can not control, but we have influence to change the overall environment in our home. We don't do things trying to control our spouse. And often that's where we as women like to spend our energy, is focused on our husbands and what they are or are not doing. And the unfortunate thing is that what that ends up doing to them is shutting them down, and it builds up resentment for them towards us. So why not show up in a way that if we want, you know, better communication and better conflict management in the relationship, let's learn how to do that ourselves. Let's equip, you know, allow the Lord to equip us and to also seek learning and wisdom so we can show up in this relationship and model the behaviors we desire to receive. You know, and it's almost like ping pong, that when we're playing ping pong with someone else and we put a different spin on the ball, it's going to be returned to us in a different way. So we just, you know, just as a woman, knowing that we can influence and even change the environment in our marriage, it's, you know, that's something that's super exciting to me. It doesn't leave me helpless. It leaves me controlling what I can control, and that's me.
You know, think about, too, the fact that when we own the fact that we are influences in our home, and I think when you come in young in marriage, you don't realize that your capacity for whining, for emotional outbursts, whatever it is that we do,
Were you talking to Greg?
Yeah. No, when I said your, I didn't mean your. Mine, okay? It feels better to talk about yours and not mine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway, but when we do that, we might get our husbands to jump, to move, to whatever, but mm-hmm. it doesn't provide lasting fruit or even nourishing fruit. But mm-hmm. when you talk about how we show up in a relationship and we think, you know what, if I want lasting change, I need to show up with honor. So I do have influence. How can I wield this in a way that cultivates a oneness that's sustainable? And I would love for you just to say a few words about maybe expectations or ideas that you came into marriage with that you just realized over time you have influence, but that's not how you want to wield it.
You know, it's so funny. Coming into marriage, Greg and I were just talking about this last weekend when we were away, that really we were pretty clueless when we came into our marriage relationship. We had high expectations. You know, I was marrying the son of Dr. Gary Smalley. He was the son coming into this marriage. And so we had expectations that things were going to go really easily and, you know, there wasn't going to be a lot of conflict. And that's just not how it went. For me, I had so much to learn. And honestly, the wholehearted wife is based on my father-in-law, Gary Smalley's Hidden Keys to Loving Relationship video series. Back then it was on VHS, now it's on DVD. But the basic simple truths, it covers every topic that you can need for a healthy relationship, impacted me so greatly early on because I didn't have any relationship training. And through that, I really just learning that and understanding that allowed me to show up differently in my marriage relationship.
So you're so honest. This is what I love about you and Greg. You're so honest. In fact, some might think your best material is some of your mishaps, right? But,
yes.
But talk about if you can, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but even early on in your marriage, when you first started to see, if I spin this ball differently, you know, if I show up differently, and still your needs are valid and you know that, but I'm showing up differently, it creates a different response from him. When did that light bulb start to go on for you?
You know, unfortunately, it didn't go on for quite a while. And honestly, as I started in the book, it's broken up into three different sections, applying it to you as a woman so you can apply it to your husband and then to your marriage relationship. Because what we found is that we really can't give something to someone else that we don't have ourselves. And so really probably about 7 or 8 years into our marriage relationship, I really started to see that there were things that I could grow in and mature in, especially around, you know, like seeking validation for how I was feeling. I would look to Greg and want him to validate what I was feeling. And if he told me, you really shouldn't be feeling that way. Oh, okay. You know, I guess there's something wrong. You know, it just put me into this constant spin and just really beyond that in that season, really learning that, you know what? The way I feel is nothing more than the voice of my heart. It's, you know, feelings. God gave us a heart that has feelings. And, you know, it's not that we live in a world that's emotionally led. He gave us a brain as well. And in combination, I can make really good decisions. And therefore, if Greg was able to validate what I was feeling, great. I loved that. But instead of, it was like I always use the analogy, I was like a suction vacuum cleaner, you know, looking around for people to validate how I was feeling. When really, if they did it, great. And if they didn't, you know what? I had this. I could validate how I was feeling between me and the Lord. Mm. And so therefore, I was able to give or to offer my heart to Greg, my emotions, my fears, my feelings, and not have an expectation that he was going to see it just the way I was, or even be able to validate that that's how I was feeling. It just completely, it changed the dynamic of our relationship so much early on.
Well, that just right there is one thing, and maybe someone's listening today, just completely can disarm a potential great argument. We've got a few copies of Aaron's book, The Wholehearted Wife, to get into your hands. Guys and gals, here's a question for you, unless you have a question for Aaron today. So what question, I'm trying to think, it just left me now, so here's my question. What question do you have about showing up in marriage? I want to hear from you. And in fact, I know we have as many men listening as women. So maybe you've got a question for Aaron as a wife and how to navigate the waters of our sometimes, how should I say this, volatile emotions. We have them at times. Maybe you got a question. I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. More with Aaron Smalley in just a moment.
I guess when I think wholehearted, I just think, you know, giving your entire heart to them, not reserving that little portion of it. I think it's easy in a relationship to be selfish with your time.
A wholehearted spouse to me means that you are authentic and vulnerable in every aspect, that you don't just share parts of the joys or the struggles, and you don't just share highlight daily activities, but you go deep and really talking about the hurts and the frustrations and the being able to see where is the Lord in the midst of this and being able to be there for them.
Good word. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Erin Smalley about what it means to be a wholehearted wife. And I don't know if you've ever heard such a lame question set up. I have a question for you. Do you have a question for Erin? I'm going to live that one down. Never. All right.
I'll let it go. I'll let it pass, Susie.
Okay, can I blame it on 2 hours of sleep? I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. It's totally my fault. 877-933-2484. And you can call anonymously, truly, if you've got a question about how to navigate these waters, because I don't know anybody more honest about those early years than Erin and Greg. In fact, here's a quote from your book, Erin. Think back to your own wedding day. I'm quite sure that when you say, I do, you didn't anticipate feeling any differently than you did at that moment. As little girls, we dream of our wedding day and planned out every glorious detail. Then over months and years of married life, disappointments and unmet expectations chip away at our wedded bliss. Our idealistic hopes collide with disappointing reality. Marriage can be hard. If you don't mind, take us back to some of those hardest moments for you, Erin. And what are the thoughts that went through your head? And the reason I'm asking is I hear plenty from listeners who are in that place where they're ready to give it all up in marriage because they're in such a low, low place. And we've been there, but I know that you're on the other side and you've got a story to tell.
You know, Susie, early on, you know, we were so excited about marriage. And like I said, we had great hopes for what this was going to be like. And I'm not kidding you, on our honeymoon, I mean, 1 week into our marriage, we were really struggling with differences of opinions, and our conflict was really an issue for us. And, you know, really learning how to navigate the conflict was so challenging because we came from two very different family of origins. My family, you know, if there was an issue, you threw it out there and we yelled and we worked it out and it was done. But Greg's family, he came from a family that was, you know, they were definitely not yellers or screamers, but sometimes they would actually even avoid the topic because they wanted to kind of work around it instead of addressing it head on. So early on, Greg, you know, there would be an issue and I'd, you know, put it right out there and, you know, my intensity, the way I do it. And he wouldn't respond to me and, you know, he wouldn't yell back. He wouldn't scream back. And I'd be like, well, why is he not doing what I know everybody does when you do this? This is all I knew. And really, you know, soon we both begin to realize that wasn't going to work for us. We were stuck in what we call the reactive cycle. And there was no way to get what we ultimately desired in this relationship the way we were doing it. So we knew there had to be a different way. And, you know, through getting a mentor couple and going to counseling and really both setting on a journey of learning and growing in, as individuals to become healthy individuals so we could have a healthy marriage. You know, it just really changed everything, Susie. I mean, it just really just transformed. God transformed our marriage relationship.
And I thank God for that because I look at the countless marriages you guys have helped. It's just, and even saved. God's used you to do that. And I want to say this and ask this carefully. And I want, so let me, grace for me here. But so often it seems that women are sounding the flare much sooner because we're so emotionally wired and relationally connected than men. More often than not, and I don't mean this as a male bashing statement, I just hear this again and again, where men will say, I never saw it coming. And women saying, wait a minute here, I've been saying this again and again and again. And I'm not exactly sure why that is, but I remember when I was co-hosting with Greg and he told a story about a time this mentor couple that had been working with you, you'd gone to the store and one of them had called for you. I think it was the wife had called for you.
Yes.
And Greg had made the joke. She left. And and the wife said, oh, I was afraid of that. And it was a major wake-up call. He's like, wait, wait, what do you mean? I was kidding. She just left to the store. And he realized then how that it was worse than he'd thought. Talk about that time, maybe your efforts to get through, but what is his response after that phone call?
You know, it is so true that men typically do not recognize the relational issues in a marriage like a woman does. My father-in-law says that, you know, really God made us as women with a built-in marriage manual, that we as women, you know, we are the more relational beings typically, and we are much more in tune with what's going on in the relationship. we actually would rate the relationship lower, like on a scale of 1 to 10. As women, we would rate the relationship much lower than a man. Typically, he rates it at least 2 points higher than his wife. And so when you say, you know, the man will say, you know, really, I didn't know anything was wrong. This is their perspective. God created us differently in so many different areas as man, as male and female. And, you know, but yet he said it's good. God said it is good the way he created us. Granted, it does set us up for some challenges. You know, that phone call for Greg was a huge awakening because he didn't realize things were where they were at. And that was a wake-up call for him that our mentor, friend, gal, lady, you know, that she saw in our relationship how much we were struggling and how difficult it was. And for him, it was a good thing to realize, wow, we really got to do something here. And then at that point, too, we found out we were pregnant with our first child. And I think for both of us, that really was a wake-up call that it was not only now about just the two of us. This was involving a child, and we wanted to raise a child, and now we have four of them in a home that had a marriage that was vibrant, and thus we had to make some significant changes.
So did he come to you then and say, okay, let's talk? I seem to remember that being the case in this part of the story, but it's been a while since we had that. So talk about what his response was and how it felt to you.
You know, he did come to me and said, you know, we really need to go in and get some help. And of course, I was open to it. I had never been to counseling in my life at that point. And I have to say it was the greatest thing we ever did because we did individual counseling and we did marital counseling together. And just learning for me, I just had so much learning and growing to do as a woman. And, you know, and just identity, who I was in Christ. I was actually a newer Christian at that point. And just really, you know, learning who I was as a wholehearted wife. I didn't know what that even meant. And Greg had to do his own learning and growth. And so often as women, we want to control and direct where we think they need to change. And because sometimes we do have insights, but again, we cannot reach over into their hemisphere and try to control and change them. They will resent it each and every time and shut down. The ultimate fear with all of that is the heart. Where is the hearts in this marriage relationship? And often, like you were saying, you know, the man isn't tracking with where the woman's heart is. And she'll get up one day, 20, 25 years into marriage and say, you know what, I'm done. And he'll be like, what are you talking about? Well, not only had her heart closed early on, it had then hardened. And, you know, when a hardened heart shows up in a marriage, that can really, really be difficult to get out of or to revitalize a marriage relationship. And especially if there's two hardened hearts, God can do that. I love that he is the healer. He is, you know, he came to heal the brokenhearted. And, you know, so we can always turn to him. There's a verse, I believe it's in Joel, that talks about rend your heart. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want your clothing ripped. He wants your heart ripped open to him, because then he can do what he does in and through our hearts. He can heal and restore our heart. And we don't need our spouse to do anything. God can do that in us, which is amazing to me.
Just absolutely amazing. And so if you're in a place where maybe you're just on autopilot, you're not in crisis, but you're in autopilot, but you're really not connecting, maybe running parallel lives, maybe this is a time to get counseling or seek out a mentor and start pulling some weeds and cultivate a rich soil where life can happen. We're going to talk more with Aaron Smalley about what that looks like and even just some components to a wholehearted wife relationship, marriage relationship. Chime in with your questions. Again, you can call anonymously if you'd like. Got a few copies of this great book I'd love to get into your hands. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Aaron Smalley in just a moment.
What does it mean to be a wholehearted spouse? looking into what God calls us to as married individuals. So no longer individuals, we're one flesh with our spouse, and that is a high calling. Calls husbands to lay down their lives for their wives, as Christ has done for the church, his bride, and calls wives to submit to their husbands in love. And what wife wouldn't want to do that for a husband who lays down his life for her?
Wow, not a good point. What wife wouldn't want to when a husband lays his life down? 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Nikki writes in and says, my husband and I have been married for 6 years, just had our first child, 9 months old. We're in a new season of life, and I'm feeling like I'm doing things half-heartedly. How do you balance doing everything wholeheartedly, being a wife to my husband, a new mom, being a good employee, working part-time from home, and keeping our home in order? Wow, great question. What do you say, Aaron?
You know, that is so hard. And it's interesting because when I speak at MOPS groups or, you know, to young moms, that is a scenario that is so common that they, you know, they feel like they're giving to kids, which, I mean, oftentimes you don't have the option of saying no to your kids. But I think even, you know, knowing that your marriage, a great healthy marriage, is only going to impact those kids more positively, that, you know, modeling to them that this is what loving your husband looks like. And it's not easy. And that's why we have to be plugged into the Lord so he can give us what we need to give out. Now, it's going to look different in different seasons. It's interesting in this group that I'm running right now, because there's women who are empty nesters, and they're saying, for the first time, I'm able to, you know, completely devote myself to being a wholehearted wife. You know, that I've had all these other things pulling on my attention, and right now I want to do everything I can to influence this marriage relationship, because this is probably our last season. You know, we're older, you know, we're empty nesters, and I want this to be the best season yet. And then we have these younger moms who are in the season of raising small kids and feeling exhausted and, you know, on and on. I think the biggest thing that they're saying, the older women are saying to the younger women, they're saying, you know what, give yourself grace, because there's so many things that I worried about, and these are the older women speaking, that really ultimately weren't important. And so I think a big thing with, you know, being a younger mom is prioritizing, you know, really looking at what are the non-negotiables, and, you know, serving and building this marriage relationship, that's a non-negotiable. I was in a meeting today just thinking, I wish someone would have told me that earlier on in our married life, because it would have been so helpful. We always went on date nights, but really I think the being intentional during that season about, you know, when your husband gets home, making sure at some point, either in the evening or maybe even before he goes to work, whatever works for you guys, is to, you know, make sure you're having at least 20 minutes a day of deep heartfelt conversation, at least of, you know, checking in with each other. You know, where are you struggling? How can I be praying for you? And, you know, because the average couple is spending about 4 minutes a day. So, you know, just 16 more minutes, take it to 20 minutes a day. And that can change the whole level of satisfaction in your marriage relationship. So it's being intentional and being creative of how to do this. But just simply prioritizing your marriage is something that needs to stay put regardless of the season that you're in.
All three of my sons are married, as you know, and the last time we spent some time with my oldest son and his wife, Lizzie, he said one of the best pieces of marriage advice he'd ever received was a friend told him, look into her eyes every single day. He said, I realized when we get so busy that we whip by each other, I'd hate those days because we wouldn't connect. But he said, to even have a heartfelt conversation, you got to look in each other's eyes. And he said, then I remember why I married her, why I love her. And I just think that is so beautiful. But I remember, I love what you said about giving grace. I was on a panel of women, different ages and stages of life, talking to moms, and different moms were asking how, like Nikki's question, how do you keep it all together? And I remember one mom who was specific on the panel, but very organized, type A, and she just had that knack of being put together, looking put together. I didn't have that knack. I would trip into the room. My socks didn't always match. I just like couldn't do it. But she was giving this woman who asked this question, you know, about organic food and a woman's sink and her chair. And I beg to differ, because some are wired that way and they get life out of that. Not everybody's wired that way. And so I love what you said, non-negotiables, your walk with the Lord, your relationship with your husband, loving your kids, and caring for yourself. I mean, you know, get some exercise and some rest, prioritize those things, be a good friend, you know, but really, my goodness, when you look at this long string of having it all, being it all, it sets some people up who are not wired that way to absolutely be overwhelmed, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm not wired like that
at all.
Yeah. And I would have friends, and for me, because I'm not wired like that, typically my girlfriends were opposites, and they were wired like that. And so they would be making, you know, the homemade organic baby food, and they would have, you know, the schedule set out for, you know, a week in advance, dinner planned for, you know, the month. And, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, it's 5:30. I guess we should probably, you know, start thinking about dinner.
This is why we get along so well.
Yes. Or I can remember this was, oh, my word. It was just craziness and chaos. And I was asked to come to the local high school. We were living in Missouri at the time to bring I had three kids at that point. Taylor was maybe 7 and Murphy was like 3 and Garrison was a newborn. And they asked me to come into their growth and development class to just talk about being a mom. And so I pile everybody in the car and, you know, I'm so excited and I get to the high school and Taylor gets out, Murphy gets out. And somehow I set the key down on the back as I had opened the door for Murphy to get out, and she slammed the door, and I had already locked the doors. And sweet Garrison was, you know, 6 months old in his car seat. I had already unstrapped him so easily he could have fallen out of the car seat. The doors are locked. I call Greg just weeping. I'm like, I made the biggest mistake. Garrison's locked in the car and I'm supposed to be going into this classroom to talk about being a good mom.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh. I was humiliated, but you know what? They took my kids inside. They played with them and the locksmith came and, you know, broke the window and got my son out. He lived through it.
Yes. And you're
and he doesn't have,
to tell about it.
Yeah. And he doesn't have a, you know, a deep seated fear about being in the car. So.
Well, this, you know, I'm just thinking as a mom who's gotten through this, my boys are married now. If I could say to Nikki and all the Nikki's listening, you know, love yourself well, love your husband, love the Lord, and give yourself some grace, because all of the rules that we add on because of our own strengths, and then we look at women and judge them when they don't live up to our strengths, it's all posturing, it's all drama, and I would walk away from it just because I think you can make yourself miserable in those early years by the should-dos and ought-tos that aren't coming from God, right?
Yes, that is so true, Susie. And, you know, because we are all wired differently, we all bring something different to the table. What I brought to the table was very different than my very detail-oriented friends, and I admired them. They admired how relational I was and that I had no problem, you know, calling a group of women and saying, hey, come over and let's have a play date. You know, that wasn't the hard thing for me. For them, you know, they would have to plan it months in advance. Mm-hmm. And for me, I could do it, you know, spontaneously, like in the next hour.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to get together like right now? Okay. You know, and so I think that, you know, we each have to embrace who God made us to be. And to do that, you have to know who God made you to be, you know. In truth, you know, looking at scripture of, you know, that you're made in his image and that we have to continually go back to looking at that we are valuable because he says we're valuable. And, you know, reflecting on scripture over and over again. And when the enemy comes, because the enemy will come to attack us and accuse us and, you know, tell us we're not doing it right, that we have to go to scripture to seek his truth. Just recently, you know, our youngest had surgery, Annie, who's 7, and she was really struggling with just really understanding that her fear was being alone in the operating room. And, you know, you can talk until you're blue in the face as a mom to say, you know what, we're going to be right outside the door. You know, God is with you. And finally, I was like, you know what, I'm going to teach her the same thing that I've learned to do. And that's to go to scripture and to find the biblical truth that opposes what the enemy is accusing us of or trying to lie to us about. And so she memorized Joshua 1:9, you know, just to not be terrified. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go. And, you know, be strong and courageous. And so she learned that. She would say it in her own little words. And literally as we're pushing the bed down the aisle into the operating room, we hear her mumbling something. And we lean down and we listen. And wouldn't you know, she's repeating, reciting Joshua 1:9. And that's what we need to do as moms. You know, we can teach our kids this, but we have to be doing that ourselves.
Yeah.
As, you know, our friends who are human, who are going to have different skills and different strengths, you know, to really seek the truth about who are we. as wholehearted moms and wives.
I just want to camp there for a moment because remember when we did the Everyday Show, we'd always open with the greatest commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as you love yourself. And sometimes we camp on that love yourself. I want to think about that as the wholehearted wife, because more often than not, we as wives are showing up in marriage not loving ourselves. And with all the deficits that we believe, all the lies we believe about ourselves, somehow we're expecting those husbands of ours to make that right, to validate the, you know, to undo the lie that we believe. But this is one of those things that Jesus, as Greg always says, is the truth. Even our emotions aren't always the truth. Jesus is the truth and the source of truth. So I want you to just talk about that, the idea of, and again, I can't stop thinking of Nikki and those. If we can make this easier for you, we want to do this. I know that's Aaron's heart as well. But to pause right here and to know this love, the love that surpasses understanding, that this love of God, that how did you come into your own, just where you could love yourself because God loves you and start to embrace the way he wired Aaron Smalley to be so that you're not looking to Greg to validate who you are?
You know, and that's a tough one. It's interesting, Susie. Last week in our in this Wholehearted Wife group, the topic was communication. And it's, I believe it's chapter 5 in the book. And, you know, I read the chapter and I was like, you know, it's good. But, you know, I think, you know, I could have changed this and this. So I show up to the group and the women are like, we loved this. The whole first section of the communication chapter is on the communication we have in ourselves, within ourselves, our self-talk. And I cannot even begin to tell you the number of tears that were shed last week over the messages that we send ourselves. No one else is even accusing us or attacking us. We're doing it to ourselves and we're choosing that. And I think that the heartbreak that these women were sharing that, you know, I want to do it a different way. And, you know, so really we began talking about, you know, getting the scripture that opposes whatever that is that you're believing. We all have these wounds and lies that we bring into marriage with us. You know, I came into marriage with a not good enough lie that I was raised by a highly perfectionistic mother who I adored, loved her, but she was very perfectionistic. And, you know, there was always a way to do something better. And not that she intentionally, you know, said that to me, but it was how I interpreted it that, you know, I need to do something better. I need to work harder. And so, you know, really just looking at what does God's truth say to me, that I am his treasured possession, that I am daughter of the Most High King, that literally that, you know, he made me in his image, and, you know, just continuing to reflect on those truths versus the lie that I'm not good enough. You know, so we have to be very intentional about that. And, you know, I've been on that journey for many years, and there's times that, you know, and I'm sure as you too, Susie, that we don't catch it. And then before we know it, we're believing something that is flat out not true. And so it's important to be aware of the communication we're having in and of ourselves, because it will impact how we show up with our husbands. Like you're saying, we'll be looking to him to fill a void or to rebuke this lie that's not his job. His job, he can come alongside of us and do that. And it's great when he does. But, you know, really, that's not his job.
Yeah. And you think about the scripture that says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. I mean, the issues of life are met in that place in our heart. And before we go to break, I just want to tell you one of the scriptures that I use, speaking of scripture, to combat this is Psalm 26:3. And it says, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. And I think about the love being the filter. Like when messages come my way, his love is a filter. And if it doesn't jive with his love, it's not going in. And I keep my feet grounded on the truth. And I just think, man, if we keep the banner of love before us and our feet grounded on the truth of God's word, we will be better off. I'm talking to my dear friend, Aaron Smalley. I love this woman, and she's got a great book titled The Wholehearted Wife. I see Jennifer's question. We're going to ask that on the other side of the break. You've got one more segment to call in with your question. If you're too nervous to get on the air, you can just tell Grace your question. We'll get to it if we can. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie at myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back. No matter the bones, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless, the cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain,
My wife serves our family by caring for us all in some very practical ways. She's the first one to answer when the kids need something. She's up first. She's to bed last. She's just always giving up her own comfort for the family, which is also an incredible picture.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Glad you tuned in. I'm talking to Erin Smalley about what it means to be a wholehearted wife. And I hear that song. It's Bart Millard of Mercy Me. And I interviewed him a couple months ago. Erin, this was my album for the summer. It rocks. The whole new album is called Welcome to the New. And speaking of the not enoughness message, Bart had this just a huge revelation. He was getting so fried. He said Mercy Me was probably about to break up because they were just tired. And he had a revelation of God's grace and of his value and of God's enough, you know, enoughness for him. And it radically changed everything. And this album, I mean, I play it every morning and I'm jumping around in the house just because it wakes me up. But every single song is about who we are in Christ Jesus. And I was just thinking about that, even listening to that one listener saying that the wife is up first and bed last. I mean, that's not totally sustainable. I mean, that's good if you can do that for a week maybe. But, I mean, there's an ebb and flow to family life. But nothing will make us more tired than striving in our own strength because we're trying to prove something and trying to be as good as the person who pulls something off better than us, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we touched on this before that really self-care is biblical. You look at the greatest commandment and it's to love God, love others as we love ourselves. And so often as women, even like that, the man was just saying that, you know, his wife is up first thing in the morning and in bed, you know, the last up latest in the house. And, you know, there's things that we have to choose to do to restore ourselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, and, you know, really being intentional about that, especially when we're raising kids, is so important.
Mm. If you picture yourself kind of being half empty because you don't really understand who you are and whose you are, you're going to look for something or somebody to fill it. But as we nurture our walk with God and we find the fullness in Him, as you say, we show up in the relationship in such a different way. And one of your keys to loving relationship is honor. And again, we can't really impart what we don't possess. So talk about just the idea of honor in our own personal lives and then how we offer that to our spouses.
You know, as women, as wholehearted wives, we have to be aware of, you know, the messages we're sending ourselves, what we're believing about ourselves. And, you know, we've got to care for ourselves in these four different areas so we can give out of abundance. Because if we're caring for ourselves and we have nothing to give out, well, then that's not true self-care. That's when it gets into, you know, self-love. And that's what I think a lot of Christian women fear is that, you know, is it going to appear that we're, you know, focusing only on us? But really the whole purpose of self-care is so we can give out what we have so we can give out of abundance. Mm-hmm. And so when we're caring for ourselves and, you know, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, physically, it allows us to do the jobs that God is calling us to do.
Okay, and I promised to get to Jennifer's question, and here it is. Can Erin talk practically about breaking those bad habits and building new ones? We don't change overnight, but I'm wondering about the process itself.
Yeah, that's, and you know, I don't know specifically what she is referring to as far as a bad habit, but in the book I talk about that I was raised in a home with that had a lot of anger and volatility. And so I swore that I would not be that type of mom. I would not be that type of wife that was screaming and yelling at people. And early on in our marriage, I started to see that pattern emerging out of myself, especially during the stressful times. And so it's difficult to break those kind of patterns that you were raised with in your family of origin. And, you know, we often try to return to what we came from. But you know what? I am telling you that it was constant prayer, you know, on my knees of just saying, Lord, I know this is not what you want for me. This is not how you want me to show up in as a mom or as a wife, and just continuing to learn and grow of, you know, different ways of handling stressful situations and talking with other women and asking them to pray for me, what worked for them, and allowing God to continue to change and mold. Because I'm telling you, God has done miracles in my life in that area. And it's always going to be probably one of those things. We all have those thorns in our side that, you know, really keep us dependent on God. And, you know, that's something that I have to continuously work on. But what I've learned is that I'm more likely to deal with that when I'm exhausted, when I haven't been taking care of myself, when I'm hungry, when I'm tired, when I'm, you know, haven't had time with the Lord. I mean, so all of those things are important because it fills us in a way that no one else can.
Yeah.
And, you know, he knows those struggles that we have, whatever it is that Jennifer's struggling with, he knows what that is. Turn to him continually and don't give up.
Yeah.
Persevere in that because he promises us, he hears us. And that he promises he came to heal our broken hearts. And we all bring just different sections of brokenness in our hearts when we come into a marriage relationship.
And there's something so powerful, Jennifer, about sitting down with your husband and repenting before the Lord, saying, God, we are a team, as you always say, Aaron, mm-hmm. and we're in this together. And we've gone places and conversations and conflict that have been beneath us that have not honored you. Would you forgive us and help us mm-hmm. reset? And I often have told young couples that you picture taffy and you stretch it out and it sort of droops in the middle. You can't really put it back together. I feel like that's a picture of what happens when you give full vent to your anger or your emotional mm-hmm. outbursts. Mm-hmm. And you hear some people say, we just needed to get it out. But I've really have seen over the years that when you give full vent to those things, it's easier mm-hmm. to go there the next time. What about you? What have you seen?
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes I feel like people will get into the pattern of that. And then pretty soon they're convincing themselves it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, to give full vent. And scripture says it's not.
Right.
You know, a fool gives full vent. And I don't want to be a fool. And, you know, there were times I would call Greg and, you know, home with the young kids and say, oh, honey, I lost it today. And just confessing that to him, going before the Lord and confessing it and asking for forgiveness. Greg would always say to me, did you make it right? Did you go back and make it right with them? And I would say, yes, of course I did. And he would say, you know what? The message you're sending them right now is that you're not perfect, that they're not perfect either. And you're teaching them to seek forgiveness when they blow it mm-hmm. because we're all going to blow it.
Yeah.
But what do? Do you go back and do you clean your messes up? And I would like to say I've seen that in my children now as they're growing, especially when my girls 17 and 20, that they have learned. And I'm hoping that somehow I influence them that, you know what, you don't have to be perfect, but when you mess up, clean it up.
Amen. Oh, that's so good. So to the person maybe who's made a habit of giving full vent to emotional or mm-hmm. angry outbursts, what are some just practical, we've got about a minute left before I ask you mm-hmm. to pray, but just a couple practical tips for reining it in when I feel like I'm going there again. I mean, it's the mm-hmm. amygdala hijack. That's what I learned from you Smalleys.
You know, so important. Take a time out. You know, we're putting kids in time out, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully not putting your spouse in time out, but mm-hmm. take a time out yourself. I've learned, especially raising teenage girls, that, you know, there's times that I have to say, you know what, hold that thought. I'm going up into my bedroom. I'm shutting the door and no, you're not following me. I have got to, you know, take some deep breaths. I've got to do something to calm down. You know, monitor where you're at. Your heart rate starts increasing. You know, you often can feel your blood pressure going up. You know, go and take a time out. And when you're there, I love these two words, do not perseverate or ruminate, you know, replaying what has happened over and over again, because that's just going to keep you stirred up. Instead, turn to the Lord. Tell him what you're feeling. If you don't know what you're feeling, you know, ask him to help you figure out, what am I feeling? Name it. Just simply saying, I'm feeling disrespected right now, can physiologically calm you down. And then seek his truth. What's the truth about this situation, about what I'm experiencing right now, about what I'm believing about myself or another person? What's your truth? Because when you know the truth shall set you free.
Aaron, I have so many more notes that I want to go run by you, so you got to come back. And
I would love to.
Yes, I would love that
anytime.
As well. Well, if you wouldn't mind, pray for Nikki. I'm just thinking of her and the many like her who just feel weary in well-doing, mm-hmm. that they could really get their marching orders from the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we just come before you, and I lift up the Nikki's out there, Lord, the young moms who are just struggling, Jesus, with feeling like they have enough, you know, and I'm sure they're asking themselves even that question, am I enough? And Lord, what I've seen and learned is that in you, we are enough, that you fill us, you guide us, you speak to us, you lead us as moms and as wives, Lord. And I just ask that these young ladies are turning towards you, that they're allowing others to speak wisdom into their lives, Lord. But ultimately and first and foremost, that you are speaking to them and that they're allowing you to fill them, Jesus. So I ask that you just silence the enemy, that you don't allow him to win with the lies and deception that he brings, Jesus, that your truth prevails and that you just give everything that these young ladies need, because I know that's your intention, Jesus. Mm. We love you and thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, dear sister. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Again, the title of Aaron's book is The Wholehearted Wife, and you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.